Hello, and welcome to another edition of Interviewing the Legends, brought to you by the Publicity Works Agency, devoted to promoting musicians and authors worldwide. Call us today at 941-877-1552 to start your free publicity evaluation. Remember, we shine only when we make you shine. Please welcome the host of Interviewing the Legends, music journalist, author, and entrepreneur, Ray Shasho.
Edition of Interviewing the Legends on BBS Radio and TV. We scheduled Mark Varner back to the show immediately when we learned he has a new live DVD entitled Mark Varner's American Band from Chile with Love, live DVD available to pre-order now at www.markvarner.com and out in the stores on April 6th. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome my hero, legendary guitarist, singer, songwriter, and forever captain of Grand Funk Railroad and Grand Funk, Mark Varner, to Interviewing the Legends. Hey, Mark.
Hey, good to be with you.
let's talk about the video first, man. It's you know, you're a great performer. I've seen you everywhere. I've seen you in stadiums. I saw you live, you know, the big arenas. I saw you in smaller venues, Hippie Fest, and with Ringo's All Stars, and in Clearwater out on the street, which probably one of your best shows was out there in Clearwater.
Oh yeah,
there's no doubt in my mind. This you know, you're a great performer, and this video is awesome, man.
Thank you for that. I appreciate it, Ray.
So what made you pick Chile of all places? Was that the fan base there was just incredible, or what?
Well, we were doing a South American tour, and we had several countries we were going to visit down there. But then my manager, Abby Steinman, called me, says, there's a guy down there that's associated with Carlos Pastin, who was the promoter who had brought us into Chile before.
Right.
And he's playing the same venue, Teatro Caupolicán, and they want to shoot it. There's a guy that you know, he's a friend of Carlos's that wants to shoot it, and he'll give you a good price. And so Avi talked to him about price, and he's doing like an 8-camera shoot, and it's really, you know, it got to where we said, well, let's do it, you know.
Right.
Because you always have to factor in the cost of everything, and if you're going to be able to do it, right? Well, thank God we was able to do it, and God bless these people for putting it together, because you'll see that they're professional, and with the video, that the free download that's on markvarner.com of Rock and Roll Soul, shot by these same people, and they have compassion for the music. They heard the song Never and Always, and the guy put together a video before he even told me that he had heard the song. He had to express this song and showed me the video, and it's great. It's great work. It's a very emotional, you know, thing. And being that it's Santiago is a good city for us. And that some people from Santiago went up to Las Vegas and saw me in Vegas, and they kept saying, you have to come to Chile. You have to come to Santiago. And I'm going, all right. And, you know, as soon as our agent puts us there, we're there. And it finally happened. And we've got friends. I mean, when we go back, we'll sell that place out again. And because the people love the music, man, they sing at times on this DVD. You can tell they sing louder than the PA at times. And it's all energized. Their energy is always moving, and the emotional connection that a band has with their audience is the connection.
That crowd was incredible. You know, it really was. It sounded like Shea Stadium all over again. They were doing that chant also. Is that the soccer chant or something like that?
Yeah, the soccer chants.
Yeah.
They were doing that prior to us taking the stage.
Really?
Yes. And they were, it was in such unison that you could not escape it. We were down in the dressing rooms going, man, listen to that. Those guys are like, they want us up there bad. And so we're getting all geeked out, dude. I'm telling you what. We took that stage. I don't know that my feet even touched it. I think I might have floated just 3 feet above the deck the whole damn show.
Do you think you'll go back to South America when this pandemic's all over?
Oh, yeah.
And do some more touring? Yeah.
Absolutely, man. The food is to die for.
Yeah. You know, you're Spanish. You have a good accent. Can you speak Spanish?
I do a little bit.
Really?
Yeah.
Poquito? Yeah.
Poquito.
Yeah. My mom was Cuban, so I got that background, and I was brought up on Cuban food, so I know what you meant about the chili, the food there in Chile. Yeah. Nothing better, man.
You got that right. There's two I love to do, and both of them is eat.
Well, you look good, man. I mean, I got a stomach. I don't see a stomach on you yet.
I'm working on it.
You're working on it?
Yeah, and you not seeing it, right?
You know, Mark, I think it's time for you to become a snowbird here in Florida.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you got a buddy here, Mark. You know, Mark Ballester is down here. Yeah, he's a good guy. I'm friends with Mark as well. Yeah, I think it's time. You love fishing. You like hunting, you know? I mean.
Definitely.
Yeah, I think it's time to, you know, if you and your wife to come down. And at least half the season anyway.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
It wouldn't hurt my feelings a bit.
Right, yeah, best fishing in the world, man. You know that. You go fishing all the time down here.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Never been skunked out there, eh? I mean,
exactly. You know, it's inevitable that you guys are going to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. You know, it's going to happen. They, you know, they got their way with the Rock and Roll Hall. They, you know, there's a lot of guys that deserve to be there that aren't there, but I think eventually everybody's going to end up there. It's just a matter of time. What's going to happen when that time comes? What do you think with you and the rest of the band?
I haven't a clue, and it would be speculative at best for me to take a gap, you know. But I can tell you right now, from my perspective, I would welcome getting together and playing at the Rock Hall. Maybe that would encourage them to take the band on the road and give the fans what neither one of us can give the fans separate from each other.
Right.
92% of the music, brother. Yeah. I need to be on that stage representing myself.
Amen. You know, I had Don Brewer on, I had Bruce Kulick on the show. You know, what they're doing with Grand Funk is they're not doing anything with it. You know, there's no new music. It's just, you know, going through the motions. It's a shame. It's kind of sad, you know.
Yeah, it's a tribute band at best.
Exactly.
At best. That and they, not bad musicians. They're good music.
Right.
But they're not the musicians. They didn't write those songs. They, you know.
Yeah.
The reason, and I believe that the reason that Shea Stadium is not out is because it's obvious in that film who is the front man of the band, and they don't want to push that image. They're trying to push this other, the faux funk, F-A-U-X. But I forgive those guys. If I didn't, you know, that shit would eat your lunch.
I know.
But I forgive them just because I'm a forgiving kind of guy. I feel a lot better if I ain't holding shit against somebody. And so I don't. I don't want stuff to upset my happy home.
Exactly. You're a good Christian. That's what it is.
Blessing Christian.
A good, happy Christian. Yeah, you want peace.
Amen, brother.
Yeah, man. But yeah, I agree. It should happen. I mean, you guys are only one of the only bands that are still out there, all the original members. You know, why not? You know, it's kind of ridiculous.
That's what I've been saying and telling those guys for over 20 years.
Yeah.
We're missing it.
Yep.
You want to just go back because, you know, I'm a fan too, Ray. I wanted when all the Beatles were still alive, I'm thinking, why in the world don't you just bury the hatchet?
Yeah.
For us fans.
Right.
Come out and play for us. Forget about what's keeping you apart. Yep. Just do it for us. Show yourself to be soft. Well, that's what I want to do. That's what I want to give back to the fans who are going, why the hell don't you guys just get back together for our sake? Because we want to see you. You know, I mean, when ZZ, they tour and they take three different tour buses, dude.
That's right.
You talk to each other. I mean, last time I gigged, you know, I talked with Tommy and he just says, you know, we don't speak to each other. I'm going, what? They don't speak to each other?
Yeah. But
on stage, you can't tell.
Right, right.
Even if there was hard feelings, you couldn't tell there. And so, I can just say open-heartedly, I would take my place on that stage if those other guys can bring it and do the best thing, what is for the fans,
mm-hmm.
the real band, and for the sake of the corporation that we're all in, make the most money. Ain't that what you're supposed to do with a
exactly.
corporation?
Exactly. You're exactly right. You know, it happened with Yes at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, John Anderson. You know, there's some bad blood there as well. John Anderson brought in, the bass player from Rush, and it was tremendous, you know, great show. And then, I'm friends with Roger from Heart.
Uh-huh.
And he got together, the original Heart got together, and it was incredible. It was so cool to see Roger Fisher back with Heart, the original band, you know, even though they don't tour together anymore, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't get it. You guys would be incredible, incredible. And, you know, you mentioned the Shea Stadium show. I mean, you know, you had Humble Pie opening up for you, Peter Frampton. That show should be out there, you know? You know, it could be on Netflix.
Yeah, Stevie Marriott, man.
Exactly.
Oh, my God. Jerry Shirley.
Oh, my God.
Good rock band. I really love guys.
Who's got the ultimate say on that, if that would come out or not?
It's the corporation. And me being only a shareholder and not a officer of the corporation.
Right.
I just get a third say, and it's always nope. Yeah, but it's okay. It's all right. If that's the way it's going to be, oh, it's going to be that way. But I'm there. I want the fans to know that I am there. I am ready. And they'll see with this DVD, I'm still able to bring it. And it's because my heart is in it. And my heart is full of love for the fans because the fans have that love for me. And it's reciprocating.
Well, everybody I talk to, Mark, says you are Grand Funk, which I agree. You know what I mean? You are the face of Grand Funk.
Thank you so much.
You know, I can't get over how the Grand Funk out there now with Don Brewer. You know, they get a guy that kind of looks like you as a lead singer. It's so real ridiculous. You know, with the long hair and everything.
Yeah. I saw the image they're trying to project. Man, where is that? I feel sorry for the fans.
Yeah.
The fans. They're not getting. And you know, they could have said Grand Funk Revisited.
Right.
you could give the fans a heads up, but oh right. no, they're just going out as grand funk. They don't tell the audience, the unsuspecting audience, that the guy who wrote and sang 92% of the music is no longer with them. But
yeah,
how honest is that, you know?
Yeah. You know, it happens a lot nowadays. Mark Bowser was one of my big, you know, first fans when I first started this program. And he calls them the sham bands, you know, the guys that don't have any original guys in the band, you know, like Little River Band is one. You know, I just can't watch the Little River Band anymore because there's no guys that are really original members anymore. How can you call yourself the Little River Band? Foreigner, exactly. Yeah.
Not an original member in Foreigner.
No. Mick Taylor's in there once in a while. He's kind of sick, but I understand.
Yeah. Well, I was talking to Gunnar Nelson. Gunnar was doing a guest DJ spot in Cleveland.
Right.
He called me and he says, Foreigner, because I was talking with him. We had done a few shows together.
Yeah.
And, he said, I had to call you and get you on the air to tell you this. He said, you know the group, the Platters? I go, I know the Platters, of course. He said, did you know that there's 126 that go out as the Platters?
My God.
There's one guy that has the trademark. He licenses 126 different. They go out as the Platters, and he takes a dip from each purse.
That's crazy.
Is that crazy?
That is absolutely nuts. Oh my God! I'm a guy that, you know, I'm one of those guys from way back. You know, I believe if you don't have any guys in the band, forget it. I wouldn't even interview you. Forget it. What's the point?
Right on.
You know? Yeah. That's why I always like you, you know, having you on the show, because you're Mr. Grand Funk Railroad.
I appreciate it. Thank you. And remind me of Ringo calling me Mr. Grand Funk.
Mr. Grand Funk.
Yep. That's how he'd bring me out on the stage and, you know, to my point of the show.
That must have been fun, huh? That all-star band.
Great time. Great musicians, you know. Felix Cavalieri. You got John, standing next to John on that stage, and that bass, holy crap, dude, like so loud, because he was half deaf. I mean, maybe all the way. It was so damn loud. And even Ringo would turn around once in a while and say, turn that damn thing down.
That's funny.
And you got Billy Preston,
yeah,
over there. What a virtuoso he was. Yeah. But Entwistle, he was a card, man. I'll tell you what. Good guy. Great man. I miss him. And heaven is rocking a step higher because he's there.
Yeah, that's the truth, man. You met so many people. Did you meet any other Beatles besides Ringo?
No.
No, huh?
I met Randy Bachman, though.
Yeah, yeah.
He was on that tour, too.
That's right. That's right.
So he's a good-hearted man.
You know, you mentioned Gunnar. I had Gunnar on like a week and a half ago.
That's good.
He's a nice guy, man. We talked about Ricky and Garden Party and all that stuff. Yeah, nice guy. Really nice guy.
Absolutely.
One of my favorite shows of all time, the Harriets.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. You know, I was creating a coming soon post on BBS radio. You know, I was putting in, you know, coming soon, Mark Foreigner, the legend, you know. And as I was doing that, believe it or not, my captain came on the radio. How weird is that, man?
That's wonderful. Mason Ray.
That was so I said, man, Mark must be listening or something, man. I'm telling you. That song, which still gives me goosebumps, and I listen to it probably once a day.
Man, I appreciate
you say you like to let the fans give it their own interpretation, which I agree with 100%. Everybody's got their own interpretation, but right. there's been a lot of people speculating what it could be. One of them, I guess, the obvious one was Vietnam, the Vietnam War, and it was all, you know, during which was taking place at the time. But a lot of other people were saying things as far as a reference to Homer's Odyssey was one of them. Let's see, there was another one that was really interesting. I can't remember now. Walt Whitman, "Oh Captain, My Captain." Was any of that, or is it just you creating a tune?
Me going to bed saying my "Now I Lay Me Down to Sleep" prayers, and on the end, after I, you know, bless the grandmas and grandpas and aunts and mm-hmm. all the cousins, and I put a P.S. on. I asked God to give me a song that would reach and touch the hearts of the people that God wanted to get to.
Right, right.
And I got up in the middle of the night and I wrote words, but I'm always getting up in the middle of the night writing words. Mm-hmm. Of them don't do anything. I mean, a lot of them don't even rhyme. It's just words. So I wasn't, you know, looking for anything. I just sat up. There's my legal pad. It's always there. Mm-hmm. I can write and not wake up my wife. I can write. I'm writing, and I'm between sleep and awake, so I'm in between, mm-hmm. and I've got my foot enough in that other side to where things are just coming out. I'm not trying to associate with what I'm putting on paper. I'm just letting the words come out as they're coming. And then when I finished, I looked at it and I just looked at the words. I went, wow, that's some crazy shit, man. I sat it down, you know, I sat it down and I went back to sleep, and I got up in the morning and I went out and had a cup of coffee on the table, looking at the horses out in the pasture. And I grabbed my George Washburn out of the corner of the kitchen there. And I started playing. Bum, bop, 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 bop. Oh, wow, that was kind of cool. What the heck? I did that. I grabbed that C. I went, that, bam. And I looked up because I had never made this chord. I just grabbed it. There it was. Maybe. But it chimed, dude. It's like it, wham. And I went, oh, my God. I got to memorize this thing. I can't forget this thing. It's so good. And I'm thinking about that. And I go, oh, the words, maybe that's a song. So I go in, I grab the words, bring them to the table, set it down, and I started singing the song, and it came together. And it's just as it was written down. That's how it came out. And when I took it to rehearsal that day, both Mel and Don said, "Farner, man, that song's a hit." Mm-hmm. They was right.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, to me, the best Graham Funk song ever. And, you know, it's got to be.
Yeah, so.
you know, most of those great songs were written pretty quickly, too. Like the Beatles, man, they, you know, all those great songs were written fairly fast. You know, it's like it was God sent, you know.
Yes, absolutely, man. Tapped into the main line.
I think you did. You got a good connection anyway. I want to mention your the Mid-Michigan flood relief. I know it's still up there, right? It's still going. Yeah. It's you know, you said there was an outpouring of love and assistance. The assistance have been amazing. I think you're up to maybe over 10 grand by now. You're trying to raise somewhere around 25,000. Yeah. What can you tell the audience a little bit about that so they can donate?
Yeah, well, it's what happens when the lake lets go because of the flood. The dam up above comes down and swells the shores of this, your next lake down. Then that one busts, and then it goes into it was like everything downstream.
Right.
Oh my God, people lost everything. They lost their whole life's worth of, you know, whatever was in the house is gone.
Yeah.
Downstream. And it only stayed on the news, Ray, for like a day, you know, and it's gone. But that being off the air didn't stop or solve the people down there's problems. They still got, you know, the Michigan Red Cross is there hands on helping them deal with them and getting them settled in someplace where they can start a life. But Lisa and I thought, man, after seeing some of our friends who lived in that area sent us their own home videos, and we saw, it's like, holy crap, man, I can't believe. But water's like that. I mean, floods and you're not going to stop that stuff.
Yeah.
Once it starts, it's just going to have its way, and we're going to be cleaning up. So that's what we're doing. And I just asked people if they could give just a little bit.
Sure.
A little bit. So make a big difference.
Yeah. I'll give today after this is over.
Thank you, Brother Ray.
This is a reminder. So the money is going to go to what, cleanup, and are they going to rebuild, or what's going to happen?
Well, they're talking about rebuilding, but man, you know how much money that is going to, oh my
goodness.
So it's still really still up in the air. And of course, insurance companies are balking, and you know, people are,
they always balk.
Lose that much, or you lose that, you know, it's just put pandemonium down there.
Yeah.
So, but the Red Cross, like Michigan Red Cross, is there and it's hands on, and that's who we support because we can't go there and do it ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But there are people doing it, and we support them. God bless them. It's just like our military, you know.
Right.
With every sale of the DVD, we give $3 out of that $14.99. We give $3 to Veterans Support Foundation.
Amen.
And Veterans Support Foundation helps our brothers and sisters returning from war to adjust back into society, to get their money that they're due, to get what's owed them. You know, somebody that will advocate for them because it is of the veterans, by the veterans, and it's for veterans. There's no hanky-panky government stuff going on in there or any sidetracking.
Right.
Real people, Vietnam veterans of America. I mean, Keith King, the guy who's running it, has been around. I've been doing stuff with them since 1970s at Harpo's in Detroit, dude. We did the Guitar Army.
Yeah.
With Wagner, Dick Wagner, and Randy California, Rob Tyner from the MC5,
yep.
Rationals, Savage Grace. I was up there doing, you know, because we just love our brothers and sisters and showing that love.
Mm-hmm.
And they have remembered me and used me throughout the years at different things. I played at the 25th anniversary of The Wall, the monument there in D.C.
Mm-hmm.
They asked me to come and play my song. I told them, if you're going to have a stage and lights and everything, I said, I'll bring my whole band and we'll do you a show. It won't cost you a thing. We'll do it for free. And we did. And not only the U.S. Vietnam veterans, but our Canadian brothers and sisters were there too. And when we started into I'm Your Captain, Brother, there was not dry eye anyway.
Right.
So Veterans Support Foundation, I'd like to give an 800 number as long as
good.
We're here.
Oh, yeah.
If you know a vet that needs help, or if you see a vet on the street that could use some help, get them this 800 number.
Okay.
Toll free number, 800-882-1316. That is 800-882-1316, Veterans Support Foundation.
I'm going to post that on all my websites as well for you.
Bless you, Brother Ray. Thank you.
Yeah. There's nothing sadder than seeing a vet on the streets homeless, man. It doesn't make sense at all, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And Veteran Support Foundation has taken a lot of vets off the street,
put
them in homes, get them job training, and put them on the job where they have self-esteem. They're back in society, productive.
My dad's a World War II vet. From he went to Saipan, Okinawa. He's 96, still around. I've been taking care of him for the last 17 years. He finally moved back up in the Maryland area, but you don't get many World War II vets around anymore.
No, most of them's gone now. My dad, he was a tank driver in the 7th Armored Division, World War II, with 4 Bronze Stars, and my mother, a first woman in the United States to weld on Sherman tanks.
I remember.
You know?
Yeah.
The patriotism and the loyalty to the country and all the things that I heard, you know, them talk about through the years, it makes me who I am and makes me want to support our veterans more, because my heart goes out to our brothers and sisters who follow orders, dude. They didn't dream this shit up. They're just following orders. And people, it's okay to be against that war, but never be against our soldiers. Never be against our brothers and sisters. They need our support.
They do. You know, a lot of the Vietnam vets went through hell coming back. My brother was in Vietnam, and I mean, they were, it's a shame what people did to those guys.
Sure is.
Yeah. You know, I need to hook you up with Loretta Swit. You remember Loretta Swit from MASH, for, Hot Lips Houlihan?
Oh, yeah.
She does a lot with the vets. I've had her on the show. And, you know, you guys, maybe I'll hook you guys up together.
Cool.
Yeah, because of that show and MASH, she's like you. She's, you know, she goes to parades and does a lot of things for the veterans.
Awesome. Cool.
Yeah, exactly. I did not know that the cover of the All the Girls in the World, I didn't know Schwarzenegger was on that cover.
Yeah. Two of them.
Two of them. I guess there was a guy named Franco Colombo or something like that, another bodybuilder.
Franco Colombo.
Colombo, yeah. You still talk to, you talk to Arnold?
You just asked to borrow their bodies.
That was a cool album. I did like that. In fact, you know, I did not know that the, you guys got a lot of flack from the press when you guys first came out. They were not on your side as far as reviews and things like that. You know, I didn't understand one bit, because you guys were a power trio that, you know, rocked out.
Right on.
I don't know. Yeah.
I always would say, I wonder what the hell show they were at. They weren't at our.
Yeah, yeah, there's too many guys like that out there. And, you know, I'm not a big fan of the Rolling Stone. I never was. I always liked Cream and Hit Parader and those kinds of magazines. But for you guys to be at Shea Stadium and to generate that much power with a rock, you know, power trio, that's unheard of, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
There are guys today that tour, and they have big bands behind them, even like bands like Pink Floyd. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of other guys. There's a backup guitarist, a backup keyboardist. You know, you guys didn't have any of that stuff.
No. Hey, man, I'm going to have to go over here and tell these guys they're beating on my door over here.
Okay. So we're waiting for Mark Farner. You can check out his studio there. Very cool studio. You can pre-order from Chili with Love DVD at markfarner.com. It's available now on pre-order. It's officially available on April 6th. And also the Rock and Roll Soul music video is out there. You can also watch that on YouTube. Mark's official website is www.markfarner.com, and Mark's on Facebook, www.facebook.com, Mark Farner American Band. Mark's on Twitter also, and on Instagram, Mark Farner _ American Band. And of course, there's Mark Farner's Mid-Michigan Flood Relief GoFundMe page.
They took off when they seen my gun.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I got a few of those. Mark, how much time you got? I don't want to overlap to another interview.
Yeah, I got time, Brother Ray.
You still got some time? Cool. Yeah. I was mentioning the backup bands, these tours, these large tours have now. Even McCartney has a lot of backup guys. And, you know, when you see Mark Farner in concert, even today, you get Mark Farner running around stage, playing keyboards, playing the guitar. And let me tell you, man, you're in my top five guitarists of all time. I really mean that.
Thank you, Brother Ray. I appreciate that so much.
Man, you need more credit, you know? You need the good people talking about you.
There you go.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, I had Todd Rundgren on a couple of times. Really nice guy, you know? He'll talk to you about anything. What was it like as a producer? What was he like as a producer?
He was great to work with. He's just he's got the musical genius working for him.
Yep.
And everything is natural. He doesn't really have to work at anything. It just, that's who he is. And one of the things that I learned from Rundgren while he was producing was I was in the control room behind the console and Rundgren's sitting out there in front of me. I'm listening to a mix. And I said, I could use a little like 3.5K kilohertz on the guitar over there in the right channel there. And I said, can you just boost it a little bit to see if you can bring that out? He says, I'll tell you what we do. Because if you boost a frequency, you're going to add noise floor. And every time you boost any frequency, you're adding noise to your mix. Mm-hmm. So he says, what we'll do is we will solo out that guitar and we will pull down the frequencies that are hiding 3.5 from you hearing it. And I went, bingo, the light went on, ding dong, there it is. I mean, there it is. So I've applied that and it works. You get a better mix.
Yeah.
What you're doing. Yeah. If you just don't, you can't just push what you think you need. You got to pull the things that out of there that are preventing you from hearing it. They just pull them down a little bit and boom, there it is.
Yeah. Hey. Do you do any recording in your house? Do you have a studio there?
A little bit, but my are not what they should be for doing any kind of mixing. You know, I hear true tones. I wish I did. I hear enough to where I can still sing a little bit.
Yeah. You still got a great voice, Mark.
Thank you, brother.
You really do, man. Yeah, Todd's a good guy. I asked him, I said, how did you learn how to produce and work the board and all that? He says, trial and error. He just got behind a board one day and started playing with it.
Yeah.
Yep. I guess he's a fast learner.
Yes, he is. He's a smart guy.
He's a smart guy. Philly guy.
Yep.
Tell him he still has his accent. His Philly accent. You told me that story and I about Janis Joplin and Rolling Stones and Mick Jagger and the chocolate. I remember that. Do you have any other good funny stories or good stories from the road? I know you got a million of them.
Did I tell you about playing with Hendrix on Randall's Island?
No, not at all.
It was a festival on Randall's Island there. And we had already gone on Grand Funk, and the people loved it. But then I'm over in a dressing room getting dressed and, you know, drying off and shit. And Rabbit, Jimmy's right-hand man, his buddy, comes over and he says, Mark, man, Jimmy wants to see you over in his dressing room. I said, okay, cool. As soon as I get my britches on and stuff, I'll come. So I come over there and I walk into Jimmy's dressing room and I see these snow drifts are lined up on the table over there. These little, about this high snow drifts all across here. And Jimmy, you know, I hugged them. We hugged each other. How you doing, brother? Yeah. And then Rabbit is handing me this $100 bill rolled up.
Oh, man.
And I go, oh, no, I don't do that. I've never done anything like that. So y'all go ahead and knock yourself out, but I'm just going to sit this one out, okay? Mm-hmm. And Jimmy looks over at me and he says, Brother Mark, you know I wouldn't give you nothing that would hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, oh my God, here's my guitar hero. He's telling me, I said, I'll tell you what, I can't do that. I'll take just a little tiny bit, maybe a little idea of a knife or something. So Rabbit pulls out his switchblade and he sticks it into the snowdrift and he puts it over there. And I go like, and it felt like it went through out of my head. It went straight up out of my head. And I was going, whoa. And I didn't even know what the hell it was, but Jimmy, they had to take him out, you know, he had to go on stage. So I'm gone the other way. And I'm like trying to adjust to this, whatever that is in my head. But I already had made a place for me with a packing blanket on top of the equipment truck, which was a box truck. And I'm going to get up there and I'm going to lean back on that box. I'm going to have that packing blanket and I'm going to be eye level with Jimi Hendrix. Mike is our hero. And he's going to come out on that stage and I'm going to be able to just sit here and enjoy myself. But I'll tell you what, Jimmy came out and he was reaching for his guitar neck. He was like, he was missing it by a foot, dude, missing it. And this kid came from no place, long blonde hair, no shirt, no shoes and socks. He walked the excess length of his jeans off of him. He just comes from no place up behind Jimmy. He grabs the guitar neck, Jimmy's hand, put them together. Jimmy kind of looked over at him like to say, oh man, thank you for that. And the guy disappears and Jimmy attempted to play. But that night it was so bad. He was so high that he couldn't put two notes together, man.
Yeah.
He did something with his echoplex or his echo that he was using.
Right.
And it was going wah wah wah, and whatever that stuff was, I found out later what it was that I snorted.
Mm-hmm.
That was having an effect on my brain, and that echoplex doing that
was
pretty sick to my stomach, dude. And I fell off that truck. I passed out and fell off the truck. I came to. I look up, there's all these faces are looking down at me. You know? Oh, my God. Come to find out, it was called, I forget what they call it, but it was cocaine and heroin mixed.
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
Oh, and my God.
That was the first and last. But I like to tell that story because it's true.
Yeah.
And that. Man, that's why I never, you know, went for drugs or any of that shit. Never got strung out. I hated that shit.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, the guys I hung around, everything was clean. You know, you didn't have to worry about things. But, you know, now they cut things with fentanyl, which is very, very dangerous. And the overdoses are so bad. But, you know, if that was pure cocaine back in the day, you would have been just, you know, in a good mood, you know. But... you would have been going really fast with the guitar, maybe, but you know, you wouldn't have had to go through all that. I mean,
wouldn't have had a train wreck in my head.
Yeah. Did you perform that night?
Before that. Yeah. We performed.
Oh, you did.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, your friend, Peter Rivera, or his other name, Horbecki, I guess, from Rare Earth, Pete told me that, it might have been California Jam, but every time he saw his eyes closed in the beginning, he closed his eyes because of acid, and he had to close his eyes while playing drums. And it's just a habit now that he closes his eyes every time he plays drums.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's getting into it, you know?
Yeah.
When I'm singing, I close my eyes to get into the character. It helps the imagination. And when your imagination is assisting that vocal with the nature of the character, it really comes off better to the audience, man.
Right.
Really. Yeah.
Yeah. You're full of energy, man. I wish I had your energy. I really do. I take too many naps nowadays. there's an autograph. There's a authorized biography out there from Grand Funk to Grace.
Yes.
About you. But you don't actually have a memoir that you have written. Is that correct?
That's right. Not yet. I've been approached by a couple of people, and I haven't got into any negotiations yet, but I'm going to put another book out, and it's going to be some of the stories, some of the, you know, the road life and some of the truth that other musicians, young musicians coming up would benefit from.
Exactly.
I'll leave them some gold here before I check out.
Well, if you need any help with that, I'm an author. You know, I got a book out called The Rockstar Chronicles that have all these interviews in it and stuff. And I was supposed to help Joe Lala. He's in Tampa. He's a good friend. And he wanted to do a book, but then he passed away, unfortunately. But if you need any help with anything, just let me know. I mean, I'll do it as a common courtesy, you know, to help you put some stuff together.
Well, I appreciate it, brother. Yeah, man.
Yeah, that'll be a pleasure, man, to help you out. I always ask this question about everybody, and I asked you this before, and I'm going to do it again. If you had a Field of Dreams wish, like the movie, to perform, play with anyone from the past or present, who would that be?
Howard Tate.
Really? That's different.
Yeah, because he was my favorite singer, man, of all time. Wow. Nobody could bring it like Howard. And I got to sing Some Kind of Wonderful with John Ellison, who wrote the song.
Wow.
Did the song with the Soul Brothers Kicks, Philadelphia. And that was at the West Virginia Hall of Fame, the Music Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
And John had called me up and he says, I'm getting this award. And he says, and it would just make my day if you were the one handing it to me. And I said, you're kidding me, man. And, I said, there ain't no way I'm going to miss that. So I went and I gave him his award. But then after that, I stood on stage with that brother and I took the second verse on the song and it was,
man.
Oh my God. Thank you, Lord.
How cool is that?
It's awesome, man. I love it. And I know that if I would have got a chance to sing with Howard Tate, that would have been real cool.
Man, it's so great to meet your heroes and, you know, hang out with them and everything. Like I'm hanging out with you today.
Yeah,
you
man.
I was fortunate. I met you a bunch of times in Clearwater and Ruth Ecker and a bunch of other places. Hippie Fest. I covered Hippie Fest and you were there.
Right on.
You know, yeah. You're one of my favorite heroes of all time. Got to tell you, man, you're great. Mark, anything else you got? I want to mention you can buy From Chilling With Love. It's on DVD. It's a fantastic, I mean, what a collection of songs. It's Grand Funk Railroad. It's Grand Funk. It's Mark Farner. It's everything right there.
Yeah, man. And, well, appreciate it. Yes, sir.
And you can go to www.markfarner.com. You can pre-order it now. It'll be available at all the stores on April 6th. Rock and Roll Soul, the music video, that's on YouTube, correct? You can watch that.
Well, it's on my markfarner.com for a free download.
Great.
Yeah, you go check it out. But if you want to download it for free.
Right.
We put it up there Veterans Day to commemorate Veterans Day. And it's been up there for free ever since.
That's awesome, man. And of course, I mentioned your official site, www.markfarner.com. That's your official site. You're on Facebook. Also, www.facebook.com/Mark Farner American Band. The name Mark Farner's American Band, I mean, that's perfect. If it can't be Grand Funk Railroad, that's the way to go.
That cost me a lot of money when those guys sued me to try to get me to not use it.
Isn't that ridiculous?
Crazy. I applied for a trademark. I got it. And they thought that they were going to beat the government who gave me the trademark. That costs a lot of time and money. You know, that's why the Bible says stay out of the courts.
I know. They're right.
Oh, man, you're crooked as a pan of guts.
I agree, man. You know, me and you politically are on the same level as well. That's why we get along so well. I remember you on Huckabee when you were on the Huckabee show. That was cool.
Hey, I'm going to be on Huckabee again.
Are you really?
April 23rd.
Oh, right. Let's promote that.
Brother, I'm glad you mentioned that because I mean, we just got the confirmation of it night before last, I think it was.
I love Huckabee, man. I know he did run for president one time. He'd be a good president.
Yes, he would. Yes, he would. And I believe we're going to get him to play bass guitar on something.
Awesome. You can play with him?
He's up. Yeah, man.
Yeah.
We did when he was in New York City. Mm-hmm. Went on his program and we did the Locomotion together. He surprised everybody. He played that song and we rocked it.
All right. That's cool. You know, I was friends with Lee Atwater. Remember him?
Yeah, man.
He was with Reagan. He was Reagan's top man. I used to have a business in DC with electronics and he came in and bought the best headphones and he was a great blues player. Lee Atwater.
Cool.
He played with B.B. King and a bunch of guys, and sadly he passed away. You know, he had a brain tumor, but another good guy, you know.
God bless him.
Yeah, he was a good guy. All right, Mark. Well, I think we did everything. Of course, let me mention again the Mid-Michigan Flood Relief, and people can go to that website and donate. I'm going to donate tonight, kick in some money for those guys. I got my cousin, her family now lives in Michigan. They moved from New Jersey to Michigan. They love it out there.
All right. They really do.
Yeah. And we got, you know, Sarasota. I'm in the Sarasota, Tampa Bay area, you know, Clearwater. We've got so many people from Michigan here. It's incredible.
It is. Yeah. I know a lot of those people.
Yep.
Yeah. People in Clearwater and even some of the snowbirds that go down there, you know. They say, man, you got to come down here, Finer. You know, going to take me to Homosassa Springs up there.
Right, right. Fishing's good, man. I'm gonna email your wife, Lisa, and convince her to move down, at least be a snowbird down here, you know?
Yeah. Let's go fishing.
Let's go fishing. Hey, wait, next time you come down here and see Mark, give me a call. I'll go with you. I'll meet, you know, it's not far from me.
That'd be great, dude.
I would love it, man. I would love it. Mark, thank you so much, man, for being on the show. God bless you.
And you.
I can't wait till this pandemic is done and you're on the road again. And looking forward to seeing you on the road again. I can't wait, especially Ruth Eckert Hall, one of your favorite places.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Brother Ray Shasho, God bless you for having me on today. And if I don't see you in the future, I'll see you in the pasture.
Okay, Mark, thank you so much, man. Take care.
Bye for now.
Bye-bye now.
Thank you, everybody, for listening to Interviewing the Legends, brought to you by the Publicity Works Agency. Call 941-8444. 77-1552 or visit us at publicityworksagency.com, specializing in author and music artist publicity plans. We shine when we make you shine. Tune in to Interviewing the Legends every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Pacific Time on PBS Radio, Station 1.
Interviewing the Legends with Ray Shasho on PBS.